This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. The show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Today, by the way, as we know, is the 19th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina roaring through our state. It was on this day, on August 29th, 2005, that we were on the air and we were doing a show at 3050 Valley Creek as Katrina was doing its thing. The guest, the first one, was Lewis Miller. The second one was Bobby Jindal, who was then a congressman. And the first caller, as I remember, was Candy in Metairie on August 29, 2005. Louisiana gained even more attention when one of our own, General Russell Honoré, led the comeback and did a magnificent job in New Orleans as that city suffered through a cataclysmic time. And we do want to send our best wishes to the general who lost his mother-in-law, Anna Derensburg. She was 103 years old. So God bless her and the family and to General Honoré and his many loved ones, including his wife, Phyllis. 877-217-5757 is your number. And we begin our show with Amy Robinson, who is an activist in the Democratic Party. She lives in one of the most conservative parts of our state. I know many listeners in Acadiana are of all political stripes, but on the record, Lafayette is the only big city in Louisiana that is a red city. The state is solidly red, but most of the big cities remain blue. But Amy Robinson is an activist who, on our show last week, we had Katie Bernhardt, the former chair, who also has called Acadiana home. And Amy believes that Katie did a poor job in her leadership of the party over the last 4 years, and that's one of the reasons why the Democratic Party is in a tough spot. And good morning, and welcome to the show. Hopefully the first of a few appearances. Amy Robinson, nice to hear your voice.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us, first of all, and we're not going to belabor this, but why do you think that the party leadership over the last few years was lacking?
Yeah, I definitely don't want to dwell on the past, and I'm looking really forward to the future that we have in front of us. It was the lack of experience, for one thing, and just a general lack of communication with those that disagreed with the way that she was conducting things. So I think that, in a nutshell, was what it was. And but we have new leadership now, and we have a lot of rebuilding to do, a lot of trust in our constituents to rebuild, and just, you know, the work. We've got to do the work. And I know a lot of people are very weary of our Democratic Party right now, but I'm doing the work. I know here in Lafayette, people are doing the work. But you said something interesting about Lafayette being a red city, and I have a comment to that, and that is that our municipalities, we're a consolidated government here. Our municipalities are really the areas that are red. Lafayette, the city, it tends to be a little bit more blue, I would argue, and it's our municipalities that are a little bit more red. Here in the heart of Lafayette, we tend to be a little more progressive, in my opinion. Youngsville, Broussard, Scott, Dusan, those outlying areas, which are part of Lafayette Parish, but are our municipalities, those, in my opinion, are our redder areas.
Well, you are from Lafayette, actually began your life in other places. Your family was in the oil and gas business, I understand. But that area has produced many political luminaries, and including the governor of Louisiana, Jeffrey Martin Landry, who is, of course, a solid Republican, makes no bones about it, believes that he had a mandate when he was elected. And your thoughts about him and how he is affecting life as we know it in our state?
I think that he has signed into law some legislation that is going to result in some of our younger people leaving, more of our younger people leaving than already leave the state. But we'll see what happens. I think that unfortunately we have a lot of disagreements with what we believe in. And I think that we have a lot of issues that are bigger than the ones that they tackled in this legislative session. But we'll just hope that we get to some other real work and do some real work in the next legislative session.
Well, how do you anticipate the Democratic Party moving forward in our state? There are no statewide elected Democrats. There's only a few and even regional offices. There's the congressman from New Orleans, Troy Carter, and then there are two public service commissioners and Devontae Lewis and Foster Campbell, and that's it. And it is an environment that changed in the course of 20 years from solid blue to overwhelming red. How do you explain the transition over the last two decades and whether there's hope for the Democratic Party to change the inertia that we know that we're living in today?
Well, I think there is hope to change it, but it's not going to happen overnight. And a lot of it has to do with really strengthening our DPECs in the state. We have parishes that don't have DPECs at all, and we really need to concentrate on getting those built, making them strong, and recruiting locally candidates that run. You know, that's how Republicans really did an outstanding job, and they do an outstanding job of that all over the United States. They start on local levels, and they work up. I'm always really confused when a candidate jumps in a race and it's a, you know, they don't have any political experience. And no offense to anybody that I know out there, but it's always surprising to me when somebody says, I'm going to run for office and I'm going to run for Congress, but they don't have any experience running for any other office. And they don't understand really what it takes to run for office. For any office, it takes the ability to fundraise. You have to get your name out there. There's just so many things that come along with it. And I believe that if we strengthen our DPEC to recruit local candidates and we start small with the school boards, with the city councils, we can really grow from there. Because that's one thing that Republicans have done a great job of. And I think that tactic is a great tactic. And it's not just a tactic. It's how you learn your community. It's how you learn about the things that work for your community, the things that work for your state, and ultimately, if you have bigger ambition, work nationally. I'm a dreamer, Jim. I hope to run for city council here in Lafayette at some point, but I don't have ambition to do anything higher than that. Mm-hmm. I love Lafayette. I have an amazing city council person. I want to replace her with someone that does the same work that she does. And I know that despite our party difference, that I work hard. And I know that I could fill the shoes that she has. And I worry about who is going to fill her shoes, because people from other districts in our city call her for help because their own council people don't answer their calls. And that's why I serve. That's why I All serve right. and do what I do now, because I want to help people. And a lot of people have just lost sight of that.
Now, we hope to talk with Amy Robinson a few more times. You can tell she's a passionate person who's been involved in many endeavors in Louisiana. But a listener does take exception to you saying Lafayette is a blue city and noting that Jeff Landry in Lafayette Parish got 61% of the vote. Stephen Wagespack got 5, by the way. Sharon Hewitt got 2. So the Republicans just dominated Lafayette Parish, while Sean Wilson, who's from Lafayette, only got 23%, while carrying East Baton Rouge Parish and Orleans Parish. So I would say that I think the person, this is Holly in the Garden District, makes a good point, Amy. Lafayette is, I think, a red parish and a red city.
I think that could be a great argument, but if you look at voter turnout, the argument could be made that if we had had our voters turn out, you just can't answer that without knowing what would happen if our voters actually went to the polls. We have an abysmal voter turnout statewide. You know that. Jeff Landry was elected with, off the top, you know, you hear different numbers. I think
about 18% of the overall voters, but people make a choice right. not to vote. And turnout not only was low among Democrats, it was low among Republicans. So,
exactly.
But from those who voted, he got, he won without a runoff. And I, if I were Jeff Landry, I'd say I got a mandate, but that's why.
Yeah, I would say that too. I don't take exception to that.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and we'll spend a few more minutes with Amy Robinson after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing your number 877-217-5757. In a few moments, we'll hear from Jeff Sado, the professor of note at LSU Shreveport. Political science is his game, and he opines from the conservative side of the spectrum. And Mike Wolf, the longtime libertarian, the man some of us call the godfather of the Libertarian Party in Louisiana, 68 days before the presidential election. Donald Trump is expected to carry Louisiana for a third time, and Amy Robinson is with us for a few more moments. She is with the Democratic State Central Committee based in Lafayette, which recent trends has shown has been a Republican stronghold. But today, a story, and I've said several people send me this, but my old friend Zia the Cat from the old WPRG days at LSU sent me this story first, so I'll credit him. CNN anchor Pamela Brown, who's the daughter of former Governor John Y. Brown, the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy, and Phyllis George, the former Miss America, says that Donald Trump's sharing of an odious sexual joke about Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton makes my stomach feel sick. Trump, who has been accused of predatory behavior by many women and has been found guilty of sexual abuse in a civil court case, reposted an old photo of Democratic nominee Harris and former Secretary of State Clinton. The caption provided by a social media user read, "Funny how," and I'm going to use not the term that's actually written, "how BJs impacted both their careers differently." Now, this is a man who is running for president, a former president, and Amy, it seems that the bounds of decency may have changed over the course of the last few years.
How I yearn for the day that misspelling potato would disqualify you from leading the nation. That's all I can say about that.
That was Dan Quayle. That was
correct.
Yeah. Well, we are in a new world now. David in Lafayette. Says he writes, Lafayette may be a tad purple question mark. I've had trouble voting in Lafayette. In the last presidential race, we could never get the talking voter machine to work correctly. David is blind. Our registrar of voters tried and called Baton Rouge, and nothing worked well. What about this is a case that's probably not unique to him, but receptive to people who show up to vote in Louisiana, or are we making it more difficult to be a good citizen and express our vote or express our opinions at the ballot box?
I think that I can't speak for all of Louisiana, but I can speak for Lafayette, and our registrar of voters, Charlene Moe, is 100% on the up and up. And please let your listener know that, and you have my phone number, Jim, give it to him. I will put him in touch with Charlene early so that we can iron out any issues with him exercising his constitutional right to vote. I urge everyone, no matter what your party affiliation is, to get to the polls. It's your constitutional right, but more so it's your duty. I know that some people don't want to vote. They're not inspired to vote, but it's honestly your right to gripe. If you don't vote, then I just really don't feel like you have the right to complain about anything. I feel like here in Lafayette, Charlene Mo does everything that she possibly can to make voting fair. I have a great relationship with our registrar because of a recall that I previously ran. I know that she does everything that she can to make sure that people get their voices heard here
okay.
in Lafayette.
As stated, we will invite Amy back soon. We have a few callers, and Robin has chosen our friend Patrick in Innisfail Estates to engage Amy Robinson. Patrick, please be brief.
Hey, Amy, I saw that in the past you supported drag queens reading the children in the libraries. I guess my question is, why don't drag queens read to, like, elderly people in assisted living facilities? Why?
All right. Patrick, but he makes a point that, as I stated earlier, about something else is not unique to him. You did get involved in that issue. Tell us why, and does Patrick have a concern that is valid?
Well, I think if you attended one, you would see that you don't have a concern that is valid, and every drag queen I know would gladly go read to the elderly as well.
Okay.
I got involved with that issue because it became a First Amendment issue when you could not say the word drag queen in the library. Gay people, queer people, all people pay taxes, and the library belongs to everyone. And I do not like when anybody's constitutional rights are violated, period.
Thank you, Amy. Let's talk again soon. It's been a pleasure.
Let's do it, Jim.
That's a deal. Now
Thanks.
We're joined by Professor Sado at LSU Shreveport and Michael Wolf in Baton Rouge, the libertarian of note. Michael has actually done something that some of us have never dared to do. He actually has been in the arena as a candidate. And Jeff Sado, will you ever run?
Oh, well, I did, 1995.
I did not know that. That's 29 years ago. What happened?
Yeah, that's correct. I ran in for the Caddo Parish Commission, and I ended up, of the entire field of people running that year, I got the second most number of votes. Unfortunately, my opponent got the most. So,
yeah, in politics, getting close is not good enough. But you did run a credible race, and thanks for correcting me. I didn't want to slight anybody. I commend anybody who runs because you're putting yourself out there, and that can be a difficult process for not only the person but for everybody in their orbit. So,
interesting experience.
Plaudits to you and to Mike Wolf. Now, another listener asks, in this new environment, and Governor Landry has, as I stated, he got a mandate. So it's his job for 4 years, maybe 8 years. He is doing things Governor Edwards did not, but there are those who believe that his presence is felt on college campuses, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But do you feel any pressure with Governor Landry in office, not, for example, to appear on shows like this, or not?
Absolutely not. This is kind of my feeling on my own campus, and this is just my own experiences. Is basically no impact at all. I mean, things have gone on as they always have where we are, and. So I can't think of a single way that that a change in administration has affected anybody's behavior.
Well, the president at LSU, Bill Tate, has been accused of changing his philosophy based on who the governor is. And I think a valid case mm-hmm. can be made that that's true because he got rid of the DEI office at LSU. Yeah. And he is the guy who's the critical race theory authority, and now there is a move at LSU to go against the governor. It's front page of the Metro section of today's Advocate. The football team will not change its pregame routine this season, signaling that the team will not be present for the national anthem. Governor Landry had requested that all athletes should be present for the national anthem before games and asked for all college boards, including LSU's, to implement a policy that would force athletes to be present for the anthem or risk their athletic scholarship. Before we get to Jeff Sado to opine, Mike Wolf, LSU is apparently doing something against the governor's wishes, which would seem to be unusual in these times. But your thoughts about whether this is a big deal to be present for the national anthem, Mike Wolf?
I think it's not at all, obviously, because they don't ever do it, and they usually don't do it. So it just seems to be a symbolic gesture. And Landry seems to be forcing them to adopt his own symbolic gestures.
But they're not doing it. And Bill Tate works for him. He's appointed by the board, which is appointed by the governor. So will Bill Tate take take the brunt of Jeff Landry's wrath over this? Jeff, what do you think?
I think this incident proves one thing, and that is LSU football transcends everything, gets away with everything. So, immovable and invulnerable to any political maneuvers.
877-217-5757. We'll talk about many matters, both near and far. And if you have something on your mind, you can send us an email as well to talk@talklouisiana.org. Two of our favorite guests, Professor Jeff Saddo, conservative from Shreveport, and Michael Wolff, libertarian from Baton Rouge. And Mike Wolff, I think through the years, has voted a straight libertarian ticket when there's been one on the ballot. Who will he select for president? We'll talk about that in more. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, 68 days before the election. And Jeff Saddo, professor at LSU Shreveport, and Mike Wolff, libertarian based here in Baton Rouge, they are with us. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we're at the ready at 877-217-5757. Robin Dow producing. And let's go to James in Metairie. James, you're on with Jeff and Mike. Hi, James.
Well, hi, Jim. Good morning to you, and good morning to your guests. You know, as they say, politics is not a beanbag or whatever the heck they talk about. Reuters article this morning showing.
Go ahead. I'm having trouble hearing James. Is he there?
I'm sorry.
There you go. Go ahead, James.
Jim, good morning. I realize politics is not beanball, but today a Reuters article. Donald Trump reposted a post comparing Kamala Harris to Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, we just mentioned that with Amy Robinson, but...
I'm sorry, Jim.
But what's your opinion about that? Do you think that that was just, as he would say, locker room talk, or is that beyond the pale?
He's a disgusting convicted criminal. J.D. Vance said Kamala Harris can go to hell. And the other day, Mike Johnson, little Mike Weak Johnson, he says the Republican Party is the law and order party. Of course, he's supporting a convicted criminal for president. And it's no longer enough to call somebody a communist.
The Democratic Party
is being run by Marxists.
You're all fired up, and perhaps these things you're talking about will make a difference in the swing states. But Donald Trump's going to carry Louisiana. What do you think of the fact that probably 90% of the white men, and I know you, I've met you a few times, I know you're a white man, but 90% of the white men in Louisiana will vote for Trump for a third time. What are your thoughts about that in our great state?
Jim, back in 1991, 60% of the white males voted for a Klansman and a Jew hater, David Duke. Nothing surprises me, unfortunately, about the white male voters in the state of Louisiana. I'm sorry, no surprise.
Well, Jeff Saddo, is it fair to compare Donald Trump with David Duke?
No, not at all. Trump is Trump. He is who he presents himself as. And I think he made that clear in his 4 years in the White House. Duke was a fraud that a lot of us could see through from the beginning. And their policies on several issues are at diametrical opposites. So, there's no comparison between the two.
All right. Well, Mike, it is, I think, a bridge too far to compare Donald Trump to David Duke. But for a guy who has a criminal and a civil conviction, if you will, on sexual matters, things involving sex, one with a porn star and another with a reporter, E. Jean Carroll, for him to make remarks about women and sex, and also a guy who said that not getting VD was his own personal Vietnam, it would seem he might be better served not talking about those things.
Well, yeah, obviously Trump fails the character test. He doesn't have to be a David Duke to be unqualified to be president. We saw that in his first term. The man's totally dishonest. And if you can't elect an honest person who can speak the truth, then it's not worth having such a person in office.
Well, Jeff, Trump has told some whoppers, but I know of other politicians who have done the same. Is this unique to Donald Trump? Is he taking it to a new level, or is he getting a bum rap as a dishonest man?
No, I don't think he's more or less honest than a number of politicians. I think there are a number out there that are far less honest. And you know, if we look, of course, at campaigns themselves are generally very steered in a particular direction that you could claim is dishonest. So in that case, there's a large number of politicians that would fall into that. You know, I think with Trump, it's just that one, he just so irritates the political left in the country that they really try to publicize these kinds of things. And there's a very compliant media that'll go along with it. So I think he gets more publicity over these kinds of things. But, you know, in terms of, you know, again, it maybe depends on how you define honesty, but whether we're extending it to campaigning tactics and all. But, you know, I don't see him as any more or less than the typical high-profile national American politician.
All right. Well, some of us believe that he's been extremely dishonest about the outcome of the 2020 election. And earlier this week, Governor Landry called a press conference, and now all state agencies that provide voter registration forms and assistance must also include a notice that says non-citizens are not permitted to vote in Louisiana. Now, do we have a real problem on that level, Mike Wolf, with non-citizens casting votes in Louisiana?
No, not according to Nancy Landry, the Secretary of State. I think there were, 42 instances of it? 42 in the last 4 years, was that it?
I think 48 non-citizens have been removed from Louisiana voter rolls over the past 2 years, but we haven't had many elections decided by, at least statewide elections, decided by that amount of votes. So is this just playing to the crowd, Jeff, or is this a real concern?
Well, the unfortunate thing about this issue is when there is successful subversion of voting, registration, or the actual act of it, we don't know about it precisely because it was successful. So this, you know, we just don't know. This could be the tip of an iceberg, or it could be, you know, not much more than that figure that was quoted, at least in terms of registration. So you know, really the law mandates sharing of information among agencies in Louisiana. And really the only thing that this does, this particular executive order, is it kind of extends that a little bit to the Office of Motor Vehicles in terms of who are non-citizens that have licenses and ID cards. So now it's basically saying you have to forward that information, which apparently wasn't being done. So that's only a few thousand people, and I don't know what will come of that. But, you know, really in a very minor way, advances on this particular issue.
877-217-5757 is your number for Jeff Sato and Mike Wolf. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, good morning. My question is for Mr. Sato. Can you name me another politician that has been impeached twice, 3 indictments, 1 conviction, and going to pardon the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers for put Capitol Police in the hospital?
All right. Well, Mike believes that our former president's a bad dude. Your thoughts about whether Mike's on the right track, or is he being too harsh on the former president?
No, in our increasingly two-track system of justice in the country, it's not, you would expect something like this would happen. Probably years from now, when all is sorted out, we'll find that at least the criminal convictions of Trump will be overturned and disappear. I don't buy that In terms of what that implies, that Trump is.
You're saying the New York conviction will go away?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. It ever.
On what grounds?
Certainly. Well, I mean, you know, the trial itself was largely farcical. You had a judge that was known to be extremely partial to one particular side of the argument. You had
if that is true, and it appears that he is probably a Democrat who probably didn't vote for Trump. I'll give you that. But what about Aileen Cannon? She's rather partisan, and she got her job from Donald Trump, and she's made a case that some thought was quite compelling to be stalled indefinitely.
Yeah, well, that was getting to my second point, is if you look at the legal argumentation involved, you have in the New York case this incredibly novel, very questionable doctrine going forward that, you know, it would be a major surprise if a court at the appellate level or even higher wouldn't just overturn that and dismiss it. So okay. In the Florida case, you have a much stronger argument that is being made by a judge who may be also a partial judge.
All right, Mike Wolf, you're a lawyer. Was the case in New York a case of prosecutorial overreach, as Speaker Johnson said? That is the Justice Department being weaponized, as he called it?
No, I don't think so, but it is subject to legal question, and we just have to wait till the appeal process is run to see what happens. You know, the means by which it was converted from a misdemeanor violation to a felony grade violation was unusual and isn't often done. I understand the way it was done here, and so there are legal issues, but it's clear that Trump was trying to cover up his payments and misrepresent them in accounting, so that was a violation of the business records law.
Let's slide in Jeff in Spanish Town before the break. Jeff, you're on with Mike and Jeff.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Number one, Republicans have a hard time defending Trump. They stutter, they hum and haul and everything else. Even your guest is having a hard time. Bottom line is this. The American people are sick. Lady Liberty always wins in the United States. If you look at the voter registration from when Kamala Harris announced, I think, July 21st compared to July 21st, 2020, black young people registration in every state is up 175%.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your comments, Jeff. Back with the other Jeff, Jeff Sato and Mike Wolf after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, Mike Wolf on the Libertarian side and Jeff Sato on the Republican side. Your number 877-217-5757. Now, Mike, you're a Libertarian. Will you be voting for your candidate, or will you be voting for one of the candidates of the major parties this year?
Well, this is unusual. The first time in 44 years, but I intend to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. This will be the first time I will not be voting for the Libertarian candidate for president.
And Mike Wolf, for those who have followed his trajectory, and it's been expressed on this show, he went to Stanford, and back in the Stanford years when he was an extremely young man, he was a Nixon guy, so he's gone full circle from Nixon to Harris, both Californians, by the way. And Jeff Sato, my guess is that you will be supporting the Republican standard bearer this time.
Good guess.
Yes, enthusiastically, from Dr. Jeff Sato. Paula in Prairieville. Paula, you're on with Jeff and Mike.
Trump is a criminal. He belongs in jail. He should be banned from ever holding public office. He led insurrection on January 6th.
All right. Well, all of those things are well documented. And, of course, people who support him believe that he was railroaded, so we'll see where it goes, and the people, of course, will vote. And it looks like about half the people are with Paula and about half are with those who believe otherwise. Now, there's this big dust-up right now. It could be a story that could last for a few days, a few months, or go away in 24 hours, as they sometimes do. But Trump in Arlington Cemetery, he He was there a day ago, and NPR broke the story that two members of his campaign staff had a verbal and physical altercation with an official at Arlington, where the former president participated in a wreath-laying ceremony. A source NPR reports with knowledge of the incident said the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump staffers from filming and photographing in a section where recent U.S. casualties are buried. The source says Arlington officials made it clear that only cemetery staff members would be authorized to take photographs or film in the area known as Section 60. And all hell broke loose. The Trump people are saying the person who tried to stop them had mental issues. Mike Wolf, is this appropriate for any president, especially one like Trump or Biden, who were draft dodgers, to be going into Arlington Cemetery for political purposes?
No, but again, it's a tempest in a teapot. I think it's a minor matter and wouldn't make a big deal about it, but it just shows Trump's boorish behavior, and it goes out to the people who work with him, and everybody tries to adopt his style, combative and pushy and arrogant and so forth. And by the way, I want to make a point that I was very much against Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. The reason I'm for Kamala Harris is because Donald Trump is so bad and she's the alternative. So I agree with Biden that we should compare her not to the Almighty, but to the alternative.
That's a good line, the Almighty to the alternative. But Jeff Sato, this Arlington story, is this a one-day wonder, or will this still be talked about on November 5th?
No, I think it's probably like a six-hour wonder. Few people even know about, or it really wasn't much, didn't get much attention that Trump was invited by these families of casualties to actually participate in that, preferring him over, let's say, the official alternative. So, yeah, the story didn't get much traction then, and I don't think the aftermath is going to get much traction now.
877-217-5757 for Professor Sato and Mike Wolf. Craig in Natchitoches. Craig, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things. In regards to Brian Kelly not bringing the team out of the locker room, I don't think he's trying to disrespect the flag or anything. I think he's just sending a message to Governor Lambie, you don't tell me how to run my football team. And next thing, Fox News just came out with a poll on the four Sunbelt swing states, and Harris is up in Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, and only down a point in North Carolina. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I saw that, and it is a Fox poll, but it is a close race. All of those are within the margin of error, and Harris was expected to get a bump from the Democratic convention, and it appears it is happening. And she's gotten an amazing turnaround. She was down 30 points as far as predictions on who would win when Biden got out. But Sato, can she maintain the momentum, or is this going to drift away? What do you think?
Well, it's really all up to the Trump campaign now. The one thing that we learned about Harris from her foray in the primaries for the nomination in 2020 is that the more you know about her, the less people like about her. And, you know, obviously her campaign is, as we've seen, the strategy is to keep her as far away as possible from any spontaneous interactions, to try to memory hole a lot of her past policy preferences, and tactics like that. So really it's up to the Trump campaign to cut through all of that. And so it's really in Trump's hands now. If he runs a campaign where he exposes Harris for what she really is, as opposed to the image that is trying to be projected, he's going to win. If they don't do a good job at that, then she's got a chance.
Mike?
Well, I think it's up to Harris as well, and particularly if she can rearrange her messaging on economics, which is really off the wall. And if they succeed in convincing swing voters that she cannot deliver any improvements in their economic circumstances, you know, there'll be an adverse reaction against her.
Tom on Bluebonnet. Tom, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering, with Professor Sato's teaching of economics has been improved by the posting of the Ten Commandments in his classrooms.
All right. That edict is not the law yet, but it soon will be, and includes college classrooms. Jeff, are you going to enthusiastically comply?
Well, I don't have any control over the classrooms. If I walk into a classroom and one appears there, then, you know, great. If not, then, yeah, I don't know. We might be in trouble.
Well, Albert Samuels from Southern says he's going to take it down, that he will not teach a class with the Ten Commandments posted. Albert's inviting a fight with the governor. Mike Wolf, is Albert on the right track, or is Jeff doing what most people would do? And in this case, you can't blame the guy. He wants to keep his job, and there are bigger issues. Should you draw a line right here? Should you die in this ditch, Mike Wolf?
Yeah, I would say no, but I admire Professor Samuels for saying he won't comply. Because it's a foolish law, you know, and it shouldn't have been passed.
Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, good morning. You're on.
Good morning. In my opinion, the issue with the Arlington incident is not whether or not Trump was invited. The issue is the rule and the law about the use of cameras out of respect in that particular area. Anybody can be there. I mean, if he was invited, he was invited. But, I mean, I don't even know if anybody can be there out of respect to the past soldiers. But he violated the rule in regards to photography and a camera.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Trish. Nice to hear from you. It's been too long. Gretchen in St. Francisville. Gretchen, you're on. Good morning.
A couple of things. I must say, the more I've gotten to know of Kamala Harris, the better I like her, but also the subject of Trump and the truth. He uses his lying as a strategy. It's part of his technique.
Okay, well, his technique has worked for him in life, and of course it's gotten him in some trouble too, and he's got an amazing past as far as what he has done, what he has said, and how he has acted, and all of that is on the ballot on November 5th, and it is Kamala, not Kamala. Bill Clinton said Kamala too. I'd walk a mile for a Kamala, but it's Kamala Harris, not Kamala. 877-217-5757. Mitchell in Sherwood. Mitchell, you're on with Professor Sado and Mike Wolf. Hello, Mitchell.
Oh, good day, Todd. I just want to say I trust David Dukes more than Trump, because David Dukes told the truth. He's a racist, and he said he's Trump's a racist, but he lied. And 90% of Louisiana white men are voting for Trump for the third time. What that tell you about them white men? They're racist. The truth is the truth,
well,
and it set us all free.
I don't think that all 90% are racist, and you never know what's in somebody's mind. A listener notes accurately, and I've seen this story, the New York Times reported, that Trump had a minority girlfriend, a black lady, a model, before he met Melania. They dated for 2 years, and Mike Wolf, does that give him a pass on whether he's a racist, or could he still be a racist and date somebody outside his race?
Well, obviously, both are true, and I wouldn't argue about whether he's a racist. He's just a jerk. I mean, in 100 different ways, and probably a racist. But I wouldn't try to analyze his racial attitudes. There's plenty of reason to be opposed to him based on his actions and his statements.
All right, Jeff. Based on what you've seen and know, do you think our former president is a racist?
No, and roughly, you know, we'll see what happens on election day, but the polls are telling us is roughly 20-odd percent of black men don't think he is either. They're going to be voting for him.
Well, I don't think he's going to get 20, but if he gets 10, he still might win, because that's more than Republicans usually get, but it'll be fascinating. Elizabeth on Jefferson. Elizabeth, our final caller today,
yes,
for Jeff and Mike. Hello.
About the governor's request to hang the Ten Commandments. Do you know how large it will be in the classrooms? What is the size of the Ten Commandments that we're hanging?
It's small.
11 by 14.
Yeah. But what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? The fact that it's small, I don't know. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mike. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, stay safe. And stay tuned.